And the court will proceed to the fifth case, the United States versus Jackson. Ms. Christian.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Joanna Christensen with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant James Jackson in this matter. This case raises two issues. One is fairly simple and clear-cut. The second is considerably less so. I'll briefly touch on the first one, which, as the court is aware, the government has conceded was error. It is an issue of first impression in this circuit, although I believe it need not detain the court for long. The guideline references both in 2D1.1A3 and 3B1.2, the application notes are clear that the offense level should be capped and then the role in the offense should be taken off of that. Moving on to the considerably less clear portion of this case, and also recognizing that this issue is next to impossible to decide until the Supreme Court acts in Booker and Fanfan, and I'm sure the court is more
They're
than
moving
aware.
Along at what might be called a snail's pace, as near as I can tell. I
mm-hmm. heard I'm sorry?
See, they're moving along apparently at a snail's pace. The argument was on the first Monday in October.
October 4th, yes, Your Honor.
We're now in December.
And I think that we're all taking bets as to which day.
We only stay in limbo so long without getting nervous about it.
Yeah. Right. Well, frankly, Your Honor, you're probably nervous. I'm nervous. My office is nervous.
Think of the prisoners, though.
Yes, our phones are busy. many cases are being essentially stalled, if not formally suspended, essentially suspended. Mr. Jackson's case is one of the few that I've had the opportunity to argue. And unfortunately, we can only shoot in the dark as to what the effect of this will be at this point. I'll make a few points about
it. Can we just talk about the safety valve? Because
sure.
I mean, I think that, you're saying that it may violate Blake. Because it relies partially upon the sentencing guidelines, but Blakely was concerned with judicial fact-finding that increases the penalty beyond a statutory maximum sentence. And I realize we're trying to anticipate what the court is going to do, but doesn't that distinguish this, and can't we move forward on this aspect of the case?
Well, Your Honor, I'll answer that first by saying that because this case is likely going to be remanded for mm-hmm. resentencing anyway, this court's jurisprudence says that the district court will then be free to consider the Booker-Blakely issues. I believe that's the most prudent option
not to try to parse it off, but just let the whole
Correct,
thing,
Your
once
Honor.
We have the ruling and see if there, because it's potentially, it could have some language in that case that could even affect safety valve.
Right,
Your
Honor.
Because the court is making findings of fact.
Correct. And the way the safety valve is structured is unique, I believe, and it's dealing with Blakely. I want to clarify this is not about mandatory minimums. We're not challenging the mandatory mm-hmm. minimum applies to Mr. Jackson. It's about this exception that is both statutory and guidelines and is essentially a hybrid of both. And the way we believe Blakely affects this determination is the way district courts have traditionally made a safety valve determination. And Blakely was very clear that the government bears the burden of proving aggravating facts beyond a reasonable doubt. Aggravating facts come into play in Blakely definitely in the first four subsections. Criminal history, I'll leave alone. I think that that's an even stickier issue than Booker is set to determine. But the middle three, subsection 2, subsection 3, and subsection 4, all specifically refer to enhancements that the defendant would receive based on aggravating facts if the government had proven them. For example, in this case, we have subsection 2 that's really an issue, whether there was a threat of violence or actual violence involved in the offense. Normally, and as happened in this case, the government bears the burden of proving those aggravating facts. In this case, it happened to involve an enhancement for obstruction of justice. In other cases, it could be whether the defendant receives an enhancement for possessing a gun during a drug crime. But the government bears the burden of proof on those issues, and that hasn't changed post-Blakely, and certainly don't expect that to change with Booker. That is the connection we see between the safety valve and the sentencing guidelines. Another issue is if the court rules the guidelines as a whole are unconstitutional, then we have the safety valve still in the United States Code, but making explicit references to the sentencing guidelines. And I don't have an answer for the court about what happens then. I think congressional intent is very clear that it intends certain offenders to get less than the statutory minimum, mandatory minimum sentence, excuse me, and has provided an outlet for that. What happens after Booker and Fanfan is up to the Supreme Court at this point. And unless the court has further questions, we do recommend that because this case will be remanded for resentencing, to allow the district court to consider any Blakely and Booker issues on remand. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. Mr. Havey?
Good morning, Judge Flom, Judge Bauer, Judge Williams. Your Honors, we are not obviously contesting the remand of the case. We're contesting the scope of the remand. And we think it is prudent to decide this issue now because we're going to have to deal with it again. If you don't decide it, it's going to be argued in the district court, and the losing party is likely going to be back here again arguing it. And I think you can reach it because Blakely does not deal with this particular issue that defense counsel is raising. They're apples and oranges. The first argument we think you should reach is the forfeiture argument. This was not raised below. We had an agreement. We had a written plea agreement. The parties agreed that all the disputed issues were going to be decided by the judge: acceptance of responsibility, obstruction of justice, the safety valve. The defendant agreed to that process even after the judge had already conducted a hearing and made a finding that he had essentially obstructed justice by threatening a witness. He did not raise an objection to going forward and having judicial fact-finding at sentencing. And there was a provision in the plea agreement that specifically stated that the defendant was going to be subject to that mandatory minimum sentence unless the judge found that he was eligible for the safety valve. So we go to sentencing, and of course the defendant is unhappy with the sentence he received, and he says, he's asking the court to say basically, let's start over, and by the way, let's impanel a jury. And I just think there's something not right about that, Your Honors. As a judge of this court stated in a dissenting opinion that we quoted in our brief, wouldn't it be odd after all these years implying a sentencing scheme that's been in place since 1987 that's up until now had the support of the Supreme Court and every federal circuit, now we're going to say, well, judicial fact-finding undermines the integrity of these criminal proceedings. That's the standard he has to make for the court to recognize this argument because it was not raised below. The plain error standard is that the error must be one that seriously infects the public integrity of these judicial proceedings. And those were the views expressed by Judge Easterbrook in a dissenting opinion in U.S. versus Messina, which we quote in our brief, that can't possibly be the case. And I believe the Supreme Court would echo that sentiment on the very same day that they issued Blakely. They issued another case in which they stated that we can't say confidently that judicial fact-finding reduces accuracy, that judges can't make reliable and accurate fact findings. We know they can. They've been applying these guidelines for years. They can make fact findings that bear on the guidelines fairly and accurately. So I think the court needs to address this forfeiture argument because we will argue it below, Judge, that this argument was not raised and has been forfeited. If the court elects not to reach the forfeiture argument and proceed to the merits, and we think the court can decide the merits of this case because Blakely does not Blakely or Booker does not bear on this particular issue. The principle that forms the basis for Blakely in the case that preceded it, Apprendi, is that the jury trial and proof beyond a reasonable doubt guarantees only apply to those facts which only applies to those facts which would be considered the functional equivalent of an element of the offense that would be greater than what would be covered by the jury's verdict. Those cases don't hold that any fact that would increase a defendant's sentence within the prescribed range by Congress constitutes an element of the offense. Only those facts that would result in essentially a verdict that is greater than what Congress prescribed. And here, the defendant admitted the basic facts which set the statutory maximum at life and set the mandatory minimum at 10 years. The judge didn't have to make any additional findings. What they're asking now is to really make an unprecedented extension of Blakely and Booker to all facts, which would essentially say that the judge can't decide anything now. I mean, how do you distinguish safety valve from acceptance of responsibility or downward departures? Is the argument that if the judge denies a downward departure motion now that that is something that should have been submitted to a jury? Or if the judge denies acceptance of responsibility, should that have been submitted to the jury? It's the same thing when we're talking about safety valve. The safety valve does not create a legal right in a defendant to a lesser sentence. It just says that the judge may impose a sentence in accord with the guidelines if the judge finds those factors, notwithstanding any statutory 10-year minimum in this case. So, Your Honors, I urge you to reach the merits of this. I think it can and should be reached without sending it back to have the district judge decide this, because I think we'll be back and redo this all over again. So if there's no further questions, Your Honors, we would ask that the case just be remanded, as we said, with instructions to impose the mandatory minimum sentence.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Ms. Christians.
Just briefly, Your Honors. The government's argument regarding whether the Blakely issue should go back, while attractive perhaps, is simply not the way this court has ruled in other Blakely and Booker cases. Specifically, in United States versus Malik, which was recently decided by this court, that case was going back because a guideline section was wrongly applied by the district court. And the court said, this court said, that because the defendant must be resentenced, the district court will have to consider Blakely and Booker. And prior to Blakely and Booker, this court's precedent indicated that that was the appropriate scope of remand in cases such as this one. Regarding the government's forfeiture argument, we do not dispute that Mr. Jackson did not raise this issue below, and it is subject to plain error review. But again, I would also cite this court's precedent in sending cases back since Booker and Blakely that did not raise the issue below and sent it back on Booker reasons, for Booker reasons. And finally, I'd like to address the government's argument that the safety valve is no different than acceptance of responsibility or a downward departure, which lowers a defendant's offense level. In those cases, those issues are not based on aggravating facts. Aggravating facts is the basis of Blakely. That term is mentioned throughout Blakely as being the linchpin of what Blakely is really about. The safety valve does involve aggravating facts. Arguably, the only non-aggravating fact subsection in the safety valve is the fifth one, which is regarding the defendant's own disclosure of the offense and his involvement in it. So we do not believe that this is akin to acceptance of responsibility and downward departures, that the defendant still bears the burden of if the Supreme Court does not find the guidelines wholly unconstitutional. Unless the court has further questions, I'd urge the court to remand for resentencing and let the district court consider the Blakely and Booker issues presented by this case.
Well, we may have some further questions, but the answers are not in this room.
Well, feel free to call me back.
Thank you, Ms. Christian. Thank you, Mr. Haley.
Thank you.
And The case is taken under advisement, and we will stand in recess.